The Old Testament reading is from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, the people stood. Ezra blessed the Lord and the great Lord, and all the people answered, "Amen, Amen," lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing to read, nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, but the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed the people, saying, "Be quiet. This day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through its tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice in the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out my hand and place it in my side. do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for gathering this community, because that's what we do as Christians. We gather. And you're in this gathering of your people in worship. And gathered around your word, we find that your joy is our strength. May we experience that joy this day in the gathering of your people in this place for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I've had the opportunity to preach in Le Padarique a few weeks back. And I'm going to share that sermon with you today. But I started out that message by apologizing. Because you see, 3 years ago when I was in Le Padarique, I also preached. But I caused a slight problem with that community. You see, I kind of like Honduran time. Honduran time says this, worship starts at 9 o'clock, maybe. That's just a suggested time. And however long it goes is how long it goes. They're not always looking at watches or cell phones to see what the time is. But anyway, so I started with an apology because three years ago, all the communities from around Le Padarique gathered that day in Le Padarique for that worship service. And then they were going to have lunch for the people after the worship service was over. But I treated that sermon similar to the sermons I preach here at Holy Cross. I knew that I'd have a translator with me, so that would double the length of the sermon, thinking that would suffice for the amount of time. Well, I was wrong. And as some of you heard Pastor Jeffrey talk about Estella, you don't want to get on the wrong side of Estella, because I did that day, because I didn't preach long enough. And they weren't ready to serve lunch by the time the service was over. So I figured to this morning, you know, since I, 3 years ago, hurt that congregation, I got to give equal time here. So the sermon this morning is going to be an hour long. Just to let you know that, because that's about how long it was this time when I was down there. But seriously, I am going to preach that same message that I preached that day there. I won't have the translator with me, but I might ask you that you do consider that. So I need you today to think that you're not in Colorado Springs. Instead, you are in Le Padarique, and you are gathering for worship in that Sunday morning. And you don't come by car, you end up coming to worship service, walking to worship service. Maybe walking with your family, maybe walking with your friends. Now you might bring your moped or your motorcycle as you come to worship. And one of the things you're going to greet are the dogs. They're always there around the church and sometimes wandering into the church during worship. And you're there as this community, gathered to worship, to gather to pray and to fellowship with each other. You, this morning, you have come from your home, your small little home, maybe made with bricks or with mud, your home, with windows that don't have glass in them, with dogs and walking in and out of your home and so forth. You are there today, okay? You are in Le Padarique. Let's look at our text again from Nehemiah chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for that purpose. And all the people gathered as one in Le Patarique, Honduras. That's what we do as Christians. We gather as one to worship and praise the name of our God. Throughout the world, Christians today are gathering as one to worship and praise the name of God. Today, this Christian community is made up of people who speak Spanish and English and ein bisschen Deutsch. And we gather for one reason, to hear and to hear God speak to us through His Word. Like us, the people of Israel were struggling during the lifetime of Ezra and Nehemiah. In His grace, God had released them from captivity in Babylon. But things were not going well for them in the Promised Land. They were brought back to that land that had been given to them by through the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they struggled. They struggled to rebuild the temple. They struggled to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. Their enemies were making it difficult for them, taunting them and making fun of them. Yet God gave them prophets and leaders like Ezra and Nehemiah to encourage them as they struggled. And the people of Israel gathered as one to hear what God said to them. They make a request of Ezra that you don't often hear in the Bible. They told Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, that book to which God had given command to them. We know that book, the book of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The people wanted to hear God's word. They met at a place where all could hear and no one be left out. The men, the women, and those who could understand gathered to hear the word of God. When I listen to Pastor Omar, I know that there are many men and women and children who are hungering to hear the word of God in this area. You are those people. You have asked Pastor Omar to bring the word of God to you. And the people of Holy Cross have asked me to bring the word of God to them. I walk around our worship center seven times on Sunday mornings in prayer. And as I was praying last Sunday, I felt like God was telling me how important it is for me to study God's word and teach that word to His people. Like you, the people of Holy Cross have many things going on in their lives. They care for their families, go to work, and find that their time is eaten up in many different activities. When they come to worship in Bible class, they are asking me and Pastor Jeffrey and Dan Hampton to feed them on God's word so that they can return to their homes knowing that God forgives them and knowing that God will never leave them. They need to hear what God is trying to tell them in the Bible because they hear many different things, sometimes contrary to God's word. I know that Pastor Omar and the pastors that serve under him in the surrounding villages take seriously your trust in them to preach the pure word of God. You need to hear about Jesus. You need to hear what it means to follow Jesus. You need to know that He will never leave you. There is a sacred trust between a pastor and his flock. We know that when all of you come as one person, you come to have us bring to you the word of God as Ezra brought the word to the people of Israel. Let's go on in our text. Let's pick up at verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Ezra is standing high up on a platform, way above the people. It's not so that Ezra can be elevated above the people. It's so that that word of God preached from above goes down into the people and penetrates into their hearts. The people couldn't help but stand when they heard Ezra as he took out the scroll from God's word written on it. They couldn't carry around their Bibles with them like we do. Instead, these words were entrusted to God, by God, to the priests and to the scribes on a few scrolls. I can only imagine the scene as the people watch him unroll the scroll. They knew that God was going to speak to them, and they were eager to hear and had to stand. They couldn't do anything else but stand in expectation of what God was going to say to them. Ezra then blessed the Lord, and the people shouted, "Amen! Amen!" In response to God's word, the people do three things. They lift up their hands, they bow before him, and they worship with their faces to the ground. You know, hearing God's word, that love for us in Jesus Christ calls us to respond like the people of Israel. We might not all respond a different way because God's word speaks to us in different ways. There might be some of us in hearing that word of God who sit in silence when we hear it. Others of us who bend at the healing power of what God has done in our life, and others of us who must bow to the ground, touching our heads to the ground in repentance because of the sin that is eating up our lives. The Levites, they're the pastors of Israel, you know, read clearly the word of God to the people, and then they explained that word of God to them. As a result of this teaching, all the people understood what God was saying. One of the most important tasks that we have as pastors is to explain that Bible so that you understand what God is saying to you. What makes this responsibility difficult for us pastors is that we are called to clearly communicate the pure Word of God. In order for that to happen, we pastors know that that word must first speak to us. We must hear that word of God speaking to us that would also cause us to raise our hands in awe and wonder of who he is and to bend over at the healing power he has worked in our lives and at times even for us to bend with our faces to the ground in repentance as that word speaks to us. We're glad to do this task, because we know that God is using us to help change your lives. He uses us to point you to Jesus, who died for you, who's taken away your sin, who is alive for you. We know that the Holy Spirit uses God's word to change your lives. The greatest joy that Pastor Omar and I have is when we see God at work in you. Let's finish the story. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. It seems to me that the Christian church in America has lost the truth that the day we gather for worship is a holy day. For most of us, Sunday is like any other day. Many Christians in America choose to gather with God's people depending on the weather or if their American football team is playing in the morning. We've lost the sense of the holy, and that's something then that something holy happens when the Christian community gathers for worship. Maybe that's the same problem you have here in Liparique. Nehemiah and Ezra declared that this day is holy to the Lord. The day that the people gathered together as one. The day that Ezra read from God's law. The day that the Levites explained that law. That day was holy to the Lord. Right now, as you and I gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and as we hear God's word, this is the closest that we will be to heaven this side of eternity before we die. We're getting a foretaste of what it means to be with Christ in heaven. This gathering of God's people today should be our joy. And that joy be our strength. When the people of Israel gathered to hear Ezra and the Levites teach from the law, they mourned and wept because they knew that they had not lived the life God had desired them to live. In that law of God, they'd heard about the power of God that saved their ancestors from slavery in Egypt and that gave them the promised land. The Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin, but Nehemiah and Ezra told the people to stop mourning and weeping. They told the people to eat good food and to drink sweet drink. They were to celebrate and not be sad because their strength was the joy of the Lord. The love that God has for us, love that God has for you, is your strength. God is doing a mighty work among you, and we at Holy Cross are honored to be a small part. I know that you are led by a man who loves you. He weeps with you. And he rejoices with you. He opens the Bible for you and explains what God is doing for you and through you. The one thing that we know when we make this trip to Honduras is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is this joy that encourages us when we return to Colorado Springs and to Holy Cross. We love you in Christ and know that you love us. Amen.